This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines, and we begin here in Washington, where President Obama held a much-awaited meeting with Afghan President Hamid Karzai. You may remember a few weeks ago, the White House floated the idea that the meeting might be called off after some inflammatory comments from Karzai, among which included his alleged comment that given White House persistence to clean up corruption and other meddling as he saw it, he might just join the Taliban. However, the two leaders seem to be on much better terms today, with President Obama and President Karzai agreeing on what the mission is ahead, as well as the challenges of accomplishing those goals. Obama says the goal is the same as it's always been:
to disrupt, dismantle, and defeat Al-Qaeda and its extremist allies in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and to prevent its capacity to threaten America and our allies in the future.
The president elaborated on a couple of those points, first of all saying that the growing insurgency is also causing a threat to Pakistani sovereignty.
The extremist organizations that have been allowed to congregate and use as a base the frontier areas to then go into Afghanistan, that now threatens Pakistan's sovereignty.
The president also says, though, that the U.S. military is making great progress, even though many of the troops he ordered to Afghanistan back in December won't be there until this summer.
We've begun to reverse the momentum of the insurgency. We have taken the fight to the Taliban in Helmand Province, pushed them out of their stronghold in Marja, and are working to give Afghans the opportunity to reclaim their communities.
For his part, President Karzai thanked the United States for all it's done over the past decade in order to help free and stabilize his country after several years of ruthless Taliban rule. Karzai says a Tuesday visit to Walter Reed Army Medical Center drove the sacrifice home even further.
Mr. President, I yesterday had the honor of visiting Walter Reed's hospital, where I visited with the wounded who had returned from Afghanistan and from Iraq. It was a very difficult moment for me, Mr. President, to meet with a young man, very, very young man, who had lost two arms and legs. It was heart-rending, and there were other wounded too, just like I had seen in Afghanistan. This shows the commitment that the United States has to bringing security to Afghanistan.
But the unified public front from the two leaders didn't stop the media from asking just how bad their relationship had deteriorated a few weeks ago and how much it's improved since that time. Both leaders, as expected, downplayed reports that there was ever really much of a problem. President Obama:
obviously, there are going to be tensions in such a complicated, difficult environment, and a lot of them were simply overstated.
And President Karzai pretty much said the same thing.
There are moments that we speak frankly to each other, and that frankness will only add to the strength of the relationship.
In other international news, it's the first full day on the job for the new British Prime Minister, David Cameron, who announced today that he has struck a coalition deal with Nick Clegg, the leader of the Liberal Democrats, a group that took third in the recent parliamentary elections, but combined, their total puts the Conservatives over the top for the ruling majority in the House of Commons. It's the first coalition government in Great Britain in decades, and there obviously was a deal to get the Liberal Democrats on board, one of which is that Nick Clegg will be Deputy Prime Minister, and five of the new cabinet positions will be filled by members of the Liberal Democrat Party. Also, Mr. Clegg has been put in charge of voting reform, one of the key hallmarks of the Liberal Democrat campaign. Instead of specific districts being up for grabs with specific candidates in future elections, if this plan were to go through, the nation would take a vote simply for party, and then whatever percentage each party got, that's the percentage of representatives that would be seated in the next House of Commons. Mr. Cameron has said he's okay with that, and again is putting Mr. Clegg in charge of leading that legislative initiative. Also, the two believe that there should be a fixed five-year term. For full analysis on this story, check out my interview at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org with Jonathan Clark, longtime British diplomat and now a senior fellow with the Carnegie Council. While you're there, you can also catch my discussion with retired U.S. Air Force General Tom McInerney about the latest developments in Afghanistan. Another day, another longtime congressional incumbent bites the dust. This time, it's the Democrats. Over the weekend, of course, three-term Republican Utah Senator Robert Bennett was denied a spot even on his own party's primary ballot at the state convention. Now, in a primary in West Virginia, 14-term House Democrat Alan Mollahan soundly defeated by his Democratic opponent. We'll have full analysis of this online at worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org, in my conversation with Larry Sabato of the University of Virginia. Just how much of an endangered species are congressional incumbents this year? Once you're done listening to my conversation with Professor Sabato, you can also catch my interview with Jesse Kelly, a Marine Corps veteran and Republican candidate for Congress in Arizona's 8th Congressional District. That could be a very competitive district this year, as Republicans held it for many years, but Democrats have held it for the past two congressional cycles. Two other political notes: the Republican National Committee announcing on Wednesday that the 2012 Republican National Convention will be held in Tampa, Florida. Tampa had been one of three finalist cities, along with Salt Lake City, Utah, and Phoenix, Arizona. Also, as far as the midterm elections are concerned, Republicans potentially with another shot in the arm thanks to the Congressional Budget Office. The CBO now reporting that the president's health care bill, signed into law a couple of months ago, will cost at least $115 billion more than previously estimated. That puts the price tag now north of $1 trillion. And once again gives Republicans some more ammunition in suggesting that the Democrats knew all along that a new health care bill with so much government involvement would only add to the deficit, not be a deficit reducer. Just a few weeks after the signing of the health care bill, the president's own actuary at the Department of Health and Human Services estimated the bill will actually cost about $331 billion more over 10 years. On to other news now, and Elena Kagan made her first courtesy calls up on Capitol Hill on Wednesday. First of all, to the leaders of the two parties on the Senate side, Harry Reid, the Democratic leader, and Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader. McConnell has already been critical on the Senate floor of the fact that Kagan has very little experience, none on the bench itself, and even very little as a litigator. But McConnell says today before the TV cameras, he will give her a fair and thorough review.
I want to assure her and assure the public that we intend to go through a thorough process. It is, however, not a rush to judgment, and we'll have an opportunity to examine the Solicitor General's credentials and evaluate that.
Also today, New Hampshire Republican Senator Judd Gregg, who voted to confirm Kagan as the current Solicitor General, told MSNBC it's a far different evaluation process when we're talking about the highest court in the land.
The Supreme Court, of course, is entirely different. The Supreme Court is the most important nomination process which we confront as a Senate. It's our very significant constitutional responsibility of the Senate to make sure the people who go on the Supreme Court meet the standards which we have as a nation for members of the Supreme Court, which is that they must be very thoughtful, intelligent, capable people who are going to be fair dispensers of justice in their nation.
And finally today, there appears to be one sole survivor of a jet crash from a plane going from Johannesburg. And finally today, sad news out of Libya, as a plane carrying 104 passengers and crew members crashed en route from Johannesburg, South Africa, to Tripoli, Libya. Just one Dutch boy has been found alive. So far, Libyan officials say 96 bodies have been recovered. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.